Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Mike Shope.
I go into nice family restaurants and I see people throwing this name around and pretending as though everything is just fine. I'm talking about boneless chicken wings. I propose that we as a city remove the... Excuse me, I'm trying to...
Yeah.
And the bulldog.
Boneless chicken wings are just chicken tenders, which are already boneless. I don't go to order boneless tacos. I don't go and order boneless club sandwiches. I don't ask for boneless auto repair. It's just what's expected.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I propose that we rename boneless wings in the city of Lincoln. We can call them buffalo-style chicken tenders. We can call them wet tenders. We can call them saucy nugs or trash.
On WGR.
We can take these steps and show the country that we understand that we've been living a lie for far too long. And we know it because we feel it in our bones.
Sports Radio 550.
Whatever happened to that guy? Is he climbing the ranks of local Lincoln, I assume Nebraska politics?
Shouldn't he?
I'm
just
assuming that was Lincoln, Nebraska. I don't know that he just mentioned the town of Lincoln, so I'm not sure. But
I'd want to be hiring that guy if I'm trying to, you know, make anything pass in legislature anywhere. Just have that guy come in, write a speech, wear his wing, yeah, his tie that had the chicken wings on it.
Right. I wonder if he says we feel it in our bones, if he was off the cuff there, or if that was intentional because the whole thing was about bones.
Oh,
that's
come on, that's got to be, that was planned.
He didn't just say that. It wasn't just an impromptu turning of a hackneyed phrase. You think he knew it?
Okay. Yeah, I think he knew it going in.
All right.
He had to.
Glad to have you with us here. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is away this week. Sneaky Joe DiBiase along for the ride, fresh off another victorious three-hour tour with his brother Louis on the Two Bros Live Show. Regular programming reconvenes tomorrow with the Instigators from 10 to noon. They were off Friday and today with the Easter holiday weekend, and One Bills Live was likewise off Friday and today, but everyone's back at it and ready to go. So that's the lay of the land there. By the way, I've said, I think, a couple times, the Sabres are going to be busy this week. I'm not going to dwell on them here, maybe later. But I probably have made it sound like they're on the road because they've been home so often. I guess I figured three games this week and they were going to be on the road. They're only on the road tomorrow. They're back home, not for the rest of the year. They've got all the road games. But as far as this week goes, they are back home on Thursday and Friday. They'll play home and home with the Devils tomorrow in New Jersey, Thursday here in Buffalo, and then on Friday they host Washington. So a couple of more home games after just one on the road, after being home for these games against the Rangers and the Flyers this past week. Anyway, the big news is in the NFL. The Jets made it. They've traded Sam Darnold to Carolina, and so the Jets, sitting at number two in the draft, it's pretty clear we'll have a new quarterback, and I would expect that to be the rookie that they pick at two. Most draft experts seem to be leaning that the way that will be Zach Wilson from BYU. So we shall see. And I know we sort of dabbled with this a little bit last week, and I know, Joe, you had a poll about it, right? The AFC East, sort of the pecking order, like who's the biggest threat to the Bills. And, you know, you can view that as for the 2021 season, or like take a longer view of it and, you know, tackle it that way. For my purposes right now, this conversation, I'm thinking about right now, because right now is when the Bills are good and look like, well, look like a real Super Bowl contender. So who's the biggest threat? And I'll tell you, like, I'm thinking about New England. I'm so glad Tom called us last segment, and you can do the same at 803-0550. Lines are open. And brought up New England, why he'd like Atlanta. His logic was, I'd love it if Atlanta would take a quarterback at four, because it's another quarterback off the board. And I think he even specified Mac Jones, you know, whatever, fine. I think the thinner the crop for New England, the better. I mean, the Jets are going to get their guy, and if he's good, well, then, you know, they'll probably be a threat eventually. I don't think it'll happen this year, but I suppose it could, but I think it's unlikely. So, but they'll, if they get a guy and he's good, then they'll be a threat. Same goes for Miami right now with Tua. If Tua can play and take a step, not get benched for Ryan Fitzpatrick. I know he can't get benched for Ryan Fitzpatrick anymore because he's on Washington now, but you know what I'm saying. If he establishes himself, then I think Miami, climbs the rankings as far as threat level goes. New England, I'm of two minds about the Patriots, and neither is, I don't know, we'll see. They're both extreme. One is signing a pile of free agents is not a way to remake your team into a winning team. They've been a winning team all these years, largely avoiding doing that. So they've done it now, and I guess I want to say that it blows up on them. They just throw a bunch of people together and hand out a bunch of signing bonuses, and that it will not work. It is definitely not the Patriots' way. So that's one. The other is they find their way to Justin Fields or Trey Lance, and they're good right away. Right? That's it. The middle, you know, the middle is where they were this past year, right? They weren't a threat, but they weren't terrible. They were terrible for New England, but by league standards, they were just, they were around. They weren't anything that you really had to worry about, but they weren't the worst team in the league. Thus, they're picking, where are they picking? 15th. So, you know, that's kind of where they were last year. I think this either fails miserably because they stick with Cam Newton and that just does not work, and that they regret signing Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry and Matthew Judon and, like, I don't know, who am I leaving out? Elgalor and Bourne, Kendra whatever. Bourne, they got busy in free agency. They signed a ton of guys. They regret that. It's horrible. Or it falls right. They get aggressive. They move into a spot where they can get themselves not Mac Jones, but someone who has real, I think, athletic potential. Someone who's got the ceiling that the successful guys right now in the league have, Allen and Mahomes, guys like that. And I think that's Lance or Fields. And if they were to find their way to one of those guys, I would feel that, Joe. Like, I would be, you know, if not quite shook, it would get my attention. Because they're still not, while I don't respect the just throwing money at free agency thought process, it's still Bill Belichick, and there's enough in the past there, there's a ton in the past there that tells you they know what they're doing. And if they get the right guy under center, then I think they could make up some ground pretty fast. Like that would change their threat level, I think, significantly if they were able to pull that off. If they can't, like our caller indicated in the last segment, and they get sort of boxed out and they got to live with Cam Newton and they go through another season just sort of treading water and still have to address the quarterback position, then I think that would be welcomed news. I'd even go as far to say Garoppolo, while I think being an upgrade from Newton, I would prefer that to them getting their hands on Justin Fields or Trey Lance myself.
Yeah, part of my thinking with them last week when, well, I guess I only said the Jets would have been my biggest long-term threat because of Zach Wilson, but New England wasn't even in that conversation for me because I was just assuming that they weren't going to find their way to one of those guys. So, right, if they are able to get up high enough to get one of these rookies, for me personally, excluding Mac Jones, then, yeah, that accelerates it because I almost love where they are long-term for the Bills' sake because they are going kind of all in with the second and third tier free agents. And if that doesn't go well, or really even if it does go well, where are you 2-3 years from now? Because I can't believe Cam Newton's going to be a long-term experiment for them. And are they going to be bad enough to ever be picking at the top of the draft? Because they're not really setting up their roster to be that team either. So I like where they are. They remind me, I know they have Bill Belichick as their head coach, so that could change everything, but they remind me of the drought Bills, where they're going to be just good enough to not be picking at the top of the draft, and they'll be bad enough to where I'm sitting up here at the top of the AFC East, and I'm not too worried about them. But if they get, even if it's Trey Lance, who's like super raw, and he's going to sit for a while behind Cam Newton, there would be someone to be at least a little intimidated by, and I don't see that player for them right now.
The reason I'm thinking about them for this is quite simply, they watched Cam Newton play for them last year, right? They were aware of those games. They watched those games. They were at those games. I'm assuming they watched them. They know what he was, and I cannot believe that the way last offseason unfolded, and they wait, and unless they think having him available for whatever the spring and summer will be like, assuming it's at least somewhat different than last year was, because last year, all this pandemic was all new, and I would think you're going to have the opportunity to do, to some degree, more work in person and interactive with your team. Unless I think that's going to make some huge difference, I just think there is a physical decline in Newton that is very hard to – you have to want to ignore it, I think, if you want him to play for you and you're under the impression that he's going to be good for you. He's going to help you have a good team. He's going to be a good top half of the league quarterback. I just don't see it. I mean, I think there are problems there. So I think there's no way that's their final answer at quarterback, even for this year. Recognizing that they might, if they draft a kid, he might not play. But I think Garoppolo still has to be someone you're thinking about. And again, I would prefer that to them drafting a guy. It's not to know, obviously, that Fields or Lance or Mac Jones is going to be great. But we know what Newton is, and I think Newton is shot. I think we have a pretty good idea what Garoppolo is, although we've never really seen him be the starter with Josh McDaniels and Belichick in New England. But I think there's a ceiling there that, has caused San Francisco to go get busy in the market and pay a steep price to get up to three to draft his replacement. So even if they do that eventually at some point this spring or summer, it doesn't really move the meter a lot to me. I think it would be an improvement over Newton, and maybe with everything they did in the offseason free agent wise, if that all goes right, maybe they get back on track with Garoppolo. I don't see it happening with Newton, and it would surprise me if they didn't know that, right? If they didn't recognize that. I think Newton, they signed Newton, and yes, they're paying him more than they paid him last year, but it's, to me, break glass in case of emergency. We got our guy back, second year in the system, blah, 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 blah. And meanwhile, behind the scenes, they should be, and again, I'm saying it would surprise me if they weren't, just scheming endlessly, trying to find their way to someone else that could be better, either, if not right away, in a year or two. And that's where, I stop and pause and think, if the draft goes a certain way, let's say Atlanta stays at four and they draft Kyle Pitts, and then the Bengals also don't trade. And suddenly you've got your first three guys go, right? And whoever they are, there's two guys left, right? Lance and Jones or Fields and Jones or Fields, and whoever it is, there's two guys left. And maybe teams just sort of start looking around and New England's calling and it's draft day and they are able to pounce and do something. That would elevate their threat level to me significantly, because I just can't believe that they're blind to how much Newton struggled last year, just like throwing the ball. You know, I mean, I know it make it sound like he threw every pass in the dirt, but he threw enough of them.
He threw some of them in the dirt.
Yeah, that I just don't trust it. And I, you know, I'm not sitting here telling you I think I know more about pro football than Bill Belichick, but I just can't believe that they would think, yeah, this is going to work. Let's invest all this money in free agency and bring back this broken down version of Cam Newton. I just don't get it.
I mean, they must think it's going to work on some level, because they did also sign him before everything, before San Francisco traded up, before free agency and all of those guys were available, before even like this Darnold trade happens. Maybe they could have found their way to Teddy Bridgewater instead. And right. I don't know, like, watching those two last year, Bridgewater was clearly a better quarterback. That doesn't have to be true this year, because there are valid excuses for why Newton looked the way he did. He was still coming off of major shoulder surgery. He had COVID in the middle of the year. He showed up late to training camp and learned an offense that he had never been a part of. So, and he had, I mean, just brutal weapons around him. I mean, the offensive line was good, it sounds like, but who was he throwing to? Edelman played a couple games. There was no tight end to speak of, and the receivers stunk. Their leading receiver, Jacoby Myers, had more passing touchdowns than he did receiving touchdowns. So, like, it should tell you a lot about what he had to work with. Again, it wasn't all, you know, his weapons were the problem. COVID was the problem, because there were plenty of games where we watched him stand back and throw it 5 yards in front of his wide receiver. It doesn't matter who your receiver is if it's not even getting to his feet.
Yeah, that's it exactly. So, you know, yeah, could it change? I mean, I know I've sounded this way about other guys before. Like, I think I pronounced Philip Rivers dead. And, you know, it only lasted a year, but he did quarterback a team to the playoffs and had them in a very tight game with the Bills, even in January. So, you know, I do recognize that I maybe should be a little more cautious. But I think with Newton, the deterioration has been steady.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if it comes all the way back for him.
And even if it, right, like all the way back, that almost isn't even something I'm thinking about.
Right.
Because
right.
What was he at his peak? He's a physical specimen that's 6'5", and he's running past defensive backs. And I just can't believe he's ever going to get back to that. And even if, you know, like I've had this thought with Roethlisberger. Like, what if Roethlisberger stays healthy for a whole year? He could stand in the pocket with good receivers, and he could be pretty good. Just the style of quarterback he is. Even if Newton gets to a place where he's healthy for a whole year, if he's not what he used to be, he's not going to be this guy that can stand in the pocket and deliver throws for you. Even at his best, he was never consistently accurate enough to do that. So it's also the style of player he is that's why it befuddles me that Belichick and McDaniels thought that could get better enough to where they should try it on again. Because, like I said, there were tons of options. They could have tried to get Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I don't know, that might have been a more appealing idea if I were them. So I'm just amazed that they went for Newton and bypassed all of the draft stuff they could have been a part of and all of free agency that they could have been a part of.
Right. Well, the draft stuff is still there for them, though. That's the point.
Like,
the draft is coming up, and like they can still and that's what I don't want to happen. Again, like our caller sort of walked me right into it. It was something that was on my radar that I wanted to get into today, or certainly at some point this week. I'm sure we'll talk plenty about it in the weeks leading up to the draft and even after, like the rest of the division. I mean, it's a new phenomenon that the Bills are perched at the top, right? So instead of trying to catch up, you're trying to fend off challengers. And, you know, for me, goal number one between now and the end of April is keep New England out of the draft quarterback market. If they have to settle for it, again, if they do nothing else, great. If they find their way to Garoppolo or you know, Bridgewater, if he's available now, fine. I'll take that. I think we know where the ceiling is on all that. The thing that I think, just like you're saying, like long-term, the biggest threat in the division, in your opinion, is the Jets because of Zach Wilson. But I tell you, the Patriots, I don't know. I'm not ready to go deep on comparing Zach Wilson to Justin Fields. I mean, oh my gosh. But the biggest threat to me for New England is if they found their way to a guy and suddenly it's like, oh, well, they added Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith and they added this and they did this and all this other stuff and Bill Belichick is still their coach. That all, to me, is borderline irrelevant if Cam Newton is their quarterback. If that changes to a kid in the draft, even if it doesn't mean for this year necessarily, I'm like, ooh, okay, you know? And I wonder, you know, we talk a lot about timelines and, you know, for coaches and GMs and, like, what is an organization looking to accomplish now? Like, how desperate are the people in charge? And I don't think Belichick is necessarily desperate because, I mean, you've won 6 Super Bowls. I think you're probably, you know, pretty fine with your legacy as it stands. But I wonder if he would be of the mind to not worry about the future as much and try to do something big in the very short term, just recognizing that, you know, the meter's running on his coaching career period just because of his age. Like, he doesn't have to be someone that's thinking about trading away number ones next year and the year after necessarily. And I recognize they haven't done that yet, but to me, they still could.
This is not, again, something that I've really thought about for them because I've just assumed, like, hey, 15 to 4 or 5, that's a long way to go. And now that Carolina maybe was a big sticking point for that, because if someone was going to move up, if Cincinnati, for instance, was going to move down from 5, well, where would they move down to? It makes a lot more sense to go to 8 with Carolina. You maintain a top 10 pick. Maybe you still get Penny Sewell if you want. I would love to, because this is, you know, you're right. Like, that would worry me if Trey Lance is New England's quarterback, if Fields is their quarterback. I would love to hear now, like, in the next couple days, like, someone else other than them is talking to Atlanta.
Right.
Or talking to Cincinnati, like anybody, Detroit. Like tomorrow, if I see Detroit, like Jared Goff was just a cap dump, they want to do something. That would make me feel a lot better about New England not being able to get up there.
100%. That's why, like, right at the outset, I mean, I know I you know, we say a lot of stuff sometimes, and it feels like when I think back on it, like I've said a lot of stuff and maybe it was all at once. But the draft falling a certain way is a part of this to me. Like, New England maybe doesn't have to go from 15 to 4. Like, if Atlanta stays there and Cincinnati stays there and it starts falling a certain way and you got a couple of guys available once you get to 10, then it doesn't cost as much to move. And then, sure. Like, I will be – until the quarterbacks are either gone or New England picks and they don't get one, I will be watching the draft that Thursday night, like, worried that they're going to do that. Like, something that's going to fall just right for them, and they are going to find their way to someone that has, like, real athletic potential and upside. And that's how I view both Lance and Fields at this point. I think most, you know, everything I'm reading about the draft tells me that. So that's where I'm at, man. They're interesting in all this for me, because it's not a team that you necessarily, you know, it's been a long time, 20 years since we thought about them being aggressive, needing to find a quarterback, right? They found their last guy in the 6th round, for God's sake. But, you know, they could recognize that they've got to get busy. So I'm sort of on alert on them. So anyway, 803-0550 is the number. You want to share a thought on everything we're talking about here as it pertains to the Patriots and their quarterback picture, the Jets making the trade that they made today, making it almost certain that they are drafting a quarterback at 2. If you were skeptical about that before, I think you can put that to bed because Sam Darnold is a Carolina Panther now. Those topics up for discussion, as well as anything that pertains to the basketball coming up tonight and what you saw over the weekend. I welcome it all here at 803-0550. Mike Shope is away this week. I am the Bulldog along with Sneaky Joe DiBiase, and this is WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
I am of the belief that Jimmy Garoppolo is a player they want to keep. And the reason is, I mean, if you remember when they traded for Jimmy Garoppolo, they had him sit for a while and learn that playbook, a very complicated playbook that Kyle Shanahan has. And so whether that's Mac Jones, a one-year starter at Alabama, or Justin Fields, obviously a big shift from what he's used to running at Ohio State, or even Trey Lance, who has 318 passing attempts under his belt for his career at North Dakota State, I think they'd love to have Jimmy Garoppolo in place to be the bridge guy.
That is our buddy Joe Marino from the Draft Network and the Locked On Bills podcast series. He was a guest with us last week. He's got, did you see his rankings today, by the way, Joe?
I don't
have it memorized. He put out his top 100 for this year's draft. We love Joe. He's a regular guest year-round. Great insight into the draft. Really does his homework. He had, holy cow, top 100, Trey Lance, he had in the 40s.
Oh, okay.
And Mac Jones in the 70s.
Wow.
This is, you know, not the, you know, there's different exercises you can do, right? I mean, the quarterbacks all get, artificially inflated. And like, if you're predicting where guys are going to get drafted, that's different than ranking them as prospects, right? This is just through grading, and that's where he had those guys. Like, both of those guys, I mean, at certain times I would tell you for sure they're both going to be gone in the top 15 even, right? I don't think if one of them is there, the way I'm talking here today, Joe, I don't think if one of them is there, they get past New England.
No.
And I think it's likely that would mean, like, all of the quarterbacks go. And, like, you're talking about, again, according to one guy who I think we all respect and think highly of, Joe, he's got him ranked, like, 40-something best prospect and 70 in the 70s. That's where he had two of the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I don't think that's terribly uncommon. I think a lot of guys who do that kind of work will often, like, objectively rate guys while telling you for sure they're going to be drafted way sooner than that. It's just, this is where in the class I've got them ranked. And so, you know, that's that. So
that reminds me, I was looking at some draft odds. The DraftKings Sportsbook put out a bunch of extra odds. They'd only had a few before, and their third overall pick right now, it's co-favorite between Justin Fields and Mac Jones at plus 125. And then Trey Lance is right after that. And, like, to have someone ranking guys in the – Mac Jones and Lance specifically in the 40s and 70s, and they're, yeah, like, right there as likely to be the third overall pick in the draft is pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. 803-0550 is the phone number you want to get in on the conversation. I was just looking at, you know, Sal was on with us in the 4 o'clock hour and mentioned how he called Darnold to Carolina. And he and I did – like, we all did, the four of us did this – draft carousel thing where we tried to pick we picked teams speculating on new quarterbacks being there and getting scores, getting points for each of the years in the league. Like, that was one separate quarterback free agency / trade draft exercise we did. Sal and I also did our own version of the musical chairs and just tried to pick where guys were going to go, and that's where he had picked Carolina for Sam Darnold. I'm just looking at the chart, and it's you know, obviously things change. Like, the Jets cementing this means that they will have a new quarterback next year. It also means now that Carolina should have a new quarterback next year. I would think they trade for Sam Darnold, and he should be the starter there, replacing Teddy Bridgewater. So I'm looking at that chart. Sal made a chart for that, and some of the names were blank because we weren't sure where guys were going to be, but I'm looking at that, all 32 teams, and thinking about Adam Schefter's prediction, which kind of predicated all of this for us, us doing that draft we did where we picked teams and tried to guess, like, who their new guy would be and what kind of points we'd get for that. And then Sal and I doing this, he said 18, right? That was the number over. Yeah. Under 18 teams will have new starting quarterbacks next year. And I don't know. I think we might be on fumes. We're at 12 as I count it right now, which is a lot still, right? I mean, 12 teams, it's a significant chunk of the league that will have new quarterbacks, either mm-hmm. rookies or they traded for someone. I have a hard time seeing my way to six more new guys. You know, like, what would need to happen there? I mean, New England would still, you know, they could still do something. Houston could still do something. You know, I don't – they may have a new guy just by default.
They're probably going to. Watson might even get suspended if he
right.
if he decides to play.
I just don't – yeah, I don't know where that is going to end up for him. I mean, what a mess. It, you know, for him, for the – I mean, I just it's just a horrendous situation. More for the women if what happened is true. I want to make sure that's clear there. I'm not saying poor Deshaun Watson. I mean, if any of the stuff that's been detailed in the reporting that's being done on these accusations is true – I mean, I don't care if the guy ever plays again. I'm sure that won't be the case because it's pro football and that's how the world works. But holy cow, good luck getting a team to, like, put his face on billboards if he's found to be guilty of any of this stuff. It's just an ugly, ugly situation. Either way, that's I'm getting sidetracked by that. So they'll still end up with mm-hmm. someone new probably, but – like, Denver doesn't seem like – I mean, I guess they still could, right? They could, where are they drafting? I don't have the draft order open in front of me.
Oh, they are drafting ninth.
Okay. So, like I was saying, talking about New England half an hour ago, if it falls the right way, they might be in a position where they could draft a replacement. I don't know that, you know, that person steps in and starts right away in front of Drew Lock. So you still probably end up with him. I'd say at this point, it seems pretty likely that'll happen. But, you know, as far as other teams, like every, you know, I don't think Atlanta, you know, we're hearing today, right? Albert Breer is saying they could draft a guy and have him sit behind Matt Ryan. So that wouldn't be a new starter. It still would surprise me if they did that. But this is not going to be as much as was predicted. But I still think if it stops here at 12, and I'm accounting for San Francisco having a new guy and all that, and counting Carolina there too, 12 out of 32 is still a pretty hardy turnover, especially considering how some teams are so stable. You know, like in one way, you look around the AFC and think about the young quarterbacks in the conference, and, you know, start with Mahomes, and you've got Allen. I mean, you just did this today talking with your brother and ranking these guys. You know, it's funny that there's that much flux with teams in the league and so many good young guys, you know, like Herbert and Burrow show up as rookies, and I think they're to be respected right away. Like, I think they look like they're going to be awesome. They're already pretty awesome. You've just got a lot of good young guys showing up, and if, I don't know, two out of these guys this year hit right away, I mean, you're just talking about a crop of young guys in the league that is really impressive.
And like you said, like they're all kind of in the AFC. So I'm looking back at the rankings that me and my brother did earlier. It's just 25 and younger, and 8 of my top 9. If we assume Lawrence is going to Jacksonville and Wilson is going to the Jets, 8 of my top 9 were all in the AFC. And then I had Fields and Lance right after that. So, and actually, I forgot Mayfield too. So.
Right.
11 of 12, maybe, depending on how the draft falls. Yeah, a lot of these guys that are coming into the league now, luckily they're not yet in the Bills division, unless you can put Tua in that category. But they're all in the Bills conference right now.
You're sort of, I don't know, I don't want to say this critically, you're sort of blowing off Tua, right? Like, you don't think that's going to happen?
I don't know what to do with him because I liked him so much coming into the league. And then I watched him in Miami, and it just didn't look like the same player. Like, Greg Cosell, a couple of times on this station, was talking about Tua, like, the velocity on his ball is just not the same as it was at Alabama. And that sounds to me like something that might never recover. If you had a hip replacement and you can't throw the ball fast enough, it doesn't even have to be a bomb down the field. If it's a 10-yard in and you've got to make a tight window throw, if you can't even get enough velocity on the ball to make that pass, then I don't know how you're ever going to be competing with these huge arm quarterbacks like Herbert, Allen, and Mahomes in this conference.
I think that's that sounds right. I mean, I didn't measure, obviously. I'm assuming Greg did because he's thorough that way. Like, you know, judging tape from college versus tape in the NFL. But I wonder, like, that's the kind of thing that maybe a year out from the surgery, maybe, you know, an off season and rehabbing and all that. But yeah, I mean, if that's gone, if his platform can no longer generate the power that's needed, you know, that would be a real problem. It's one of the reasons why there were questions about his draft status to begin with. But, you know, modern medicine, you know, like he might just get better physically. And if he does, that some of that velocity comes back, then I think maybe you've got a guy back there. I'm not giving up on him. Like, I loved him too coming out and was really respecting the idea of Miami as a threat because they picked him. And I'm not ready to put that to bed yet. I mean, I know it did not go well last year, obviously. But I think there's still maybe more there, and we'll see if he can get healthy to make it happen. 803-0550 is the number. Yeah, 18 quarterback changes predicted by Adam Schefter. We've got 12 so far, counting the guys that are going to get drafted, assuming those guys, you know, whatever, those teams are divesting themselves of the former starters, so we can all but assume they're going to be the number one quarterbacks on those teams now. So 12 out of 32 so far. 803-0550. I am the Bulldog. Mike Schoeb's on vacation. This is WG.
Any way that they go with Tremaine Edmonds, I don't think would surprise me. I do think that this is a very important year, and I think that they've spent so much time developing him. I struggle to get to the point where I think that they're even to a point now where they're considering going in a different direction. I think that they still see a high ceiling, and I still think that you've seen a pretty high floor, considering two Pro Bowls in 3 years, sitting here at 22 years old, will turn 23 in his fourth season.
That is Matt Perino from Syracuse.com earlier today with Sneaky Joe and his brother Lou Neas on the Two Bros Live show, which was filling in for One Bills Live. And funny enough, Tremaine Edmonds was on the list of, it was like the reason I reached out to Sal today. Not that there's any big news or anything, but I was just thinking about him and what his future is and how I think maybe he's a tougher call, I think, than like Trey White was or Deion Dawkins was. Like these guys that like, obviously, boy, I hope the Bills can find the way to resign him. I don't know that Edmonds is as much of a layup as those other guys were. So we'll get into that, I'm sure, as this week unfolds with Sal. Joe, Sneaky Joe, by the way, along with me, I'm the Bulldog. Mike Schoeb is on vacation this week. Given your age, I'm guessing you kind of miss Nirvana, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Almost entirely, yeah.
Yeah, right. Kurt Cobain died on this day in 1994. I came across this story, I think on the weekend, maybe on Friday, I don't know, it doesn't matter. I'm going to retweet it again. It's a Rolling Stone story, and the headline is, In Computero, Hear How AI Software Wrote a New, quotes, New Nirvana Song. There's a there's a computer programming group that's out there, and they have put together, now I can't get the story to open up entirely to give me all the background I want. They have analyzed through a computer program like loads and loads of songs by famous deceased artists and used the program, like the program takes in all these songs. I can't remember if it's, the entire library of these artists, Amy Winehouse, Jimi Hendrix, Jim Morrison and the Doors, Kurt Cobain and Nirvana, and like takes all of that in and then writes and produces new songs in the style of the recordings that it's analyzed. You follow me? Like that is happening. And Rolling Stone, and I will tweet this for anyone whose curiosity is being piqued by me even bringing it up. I didn't listen to all of the story that they had that I can't get to open now because it might have gotten just too old and now it's asking me to subscribe or something, which I did not need to do when I originally read it. And I assume when I tweet it, it will work for people. It had links to a Doors song. Can I put quotes around everything? Quote, unquote, a Doors song, a Jimi Hendrix song, this Nirvana song. And I listened to the, quote, Nirvana song and the, quote, Hendrix song. And, like, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, they sounded like, well, it was a computer program. They did their job. They sound like those artists, which is super creepy and weird. I don't know. I would be surprised if anyone like knowingly said, ooh, I got to get my hands on that. A computer program wrote and performed music that sounds like one of my favorite dead artists. I don't know. I have a hard time imagining people being excited by that. But I guess the rub of it is, if you listened to it, if it were presented as, hey, the members of Jimi Hendrix's estate uncovered some stuff he was working on, and they, they remixed it and are putting it out, and you got to hear it. It's really great. I think if I were to be presented with it in that way, in that context, I would listen to it and go, wow, that's really good. But instead, it's just machines making all this music to make it sound like these people, which is, I don't know. I can't get there. Like, I don't know. It does not sound like something I really want or need, but it was of interest to me. And with today being the anniversary of Cobain's death in 1994, I thought to mention it. I'll see if I can get around to getting that a live link of that back out and send it out, seeing as how I brought it up on the air now. All right, we got to take a break. I'm the Bulldog. Mike Schopes away along with Sneaky Joe DiBiase. This is WGR.